Proposed ordinance relating to temporary removable vendor stands. As council is well aware, we have discussed this proposed ordinance in draft form over several meetings now. We were prepared to introduce the ordinance at last council meeting, but postponed that until today to amend the current ordinance that was in this week's packet. The simple amendment that took place at the request of council was to include the B1 zone. No other changes, significant changes were made other than to expand the draft ordinance to include B1 at the request of council. I don't know if there's any questions. We certainly discussed this at length at last meeting. If you have any questions about that, you may ask, but otherwise we're prepared to introduce this. And again, this will now start the public hearing process.
Okay, just review. Yeah, I'm sorry. Just review the trigger that goes from the permit to Mr. Lank's decision on, you know, that there would be a hearing needed.
Sure.
In other words, we want to make sure it's clear that it's easy to for people out there to interpret. Is that the case still?
Sure. It is still the case, Mr. Robertson. I have it in front of me if you've got it. Okay.
Whichever.
So the intent of this ordinance is to streamline the efforts so that a temporary removable vendor, which includes food trucks and similar trailers located on a premise not more than 6 months for only the sale of food, agriculture products, and other food-related goods, allowing them to go through a simple permitting process in lieu of what is currently required, which is a conditional use process. Again, we are restricting this to activity on property currently zoned, already zoned, C1, CR1, and B1. As I stated, the type of activity, the temporary moving stands, 6 months or less, one stand per parcel. The size is a dimension that we gathered from DMV, which is basically the size of a large trailer that can still be driven on the road, 8 foot 6 inches wide by 45 feet long. Activity must be approved by the owner of the property in writing. They must provide a drawing of the stand location to the Director of Planning and Zoning. There is a state agency review that we will probably discuss in more detail at the public hearing level, but there is this wording in the ordinance. And then there's a kickout clause, and the kickout clause reads,
I'm trying to find it. Where is it on them?
It's paragraph F.
Yeah, okay, got it.
At the bottom of paragraph F, and specific concerns listed are A, the location, B, the size of the property, which is amended as of last week's discussion, C, the effect upon on-site parking, neighboring properties or roadways, or letter D, other good cause. Mr. Robertson, do you have anything to add?
No, I don't. I mean, we tried to get as specific as we could. So, like Mr. Cole said, if somebody looked at this, they would know where they fall in sort of the permitting process, and also give the director some guidance on what he needs to look for.
Mm-hmm. And other good cause could be defined as, could you give us an example, just so if somebody asked me tomorrow what other good cause means, I could tell them?
Well, I think that would maybe go.
I think I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, just give me an example.
That was talked about, two weeks ago, I guess. If it looked like, you know, there was going to be a lot of outdoor seating and the need maybe for restrooms and
it's
things
different.
Like that.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
That would be the kind of thing where sort of the alarm bells would go off and he would send it through the hearing
So
process.
Typically, if I wanted this permit, I would go to directly to planning and zoning, and then I have to have the drawing, and I have to have something from the state as far as the health department's concerned.
Well, at this point, it's a business license.
Okay, okay. The owner has to sign the authority. And what else I have to have?
Well, you'd have to meet all those criteria on the drawings. You'd have to show that it's...
Yes, well, that drawing would show that. Okay.
And then,
how long would that take, you think?
Well, you know, the way that we envisioned it, it wouldn't be a lot different. There's a process now where, if you're selling a piece of real estate and a survey is done, it's submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning, it's dropped off, and then in a day or two, depending on their backlog, it's processed through that quickly. So I would think it would be something similar to that. Lawrence has given me the side eye over here, though, so I don't know. But that's kind of what we were thinking
about.
It's
the stink eye.
Yeah. It can be decided right there at planning and zoning.
Yes, okay. Yeah, that's the idea, that it would stay within that office.
Good.
Let me ask Lawrence.
Vince's example is a little, it's actually easier. It's typically the survey comes in, you've got a technical review, it takes a few minutes. If you have a few minutes to do it sometime, it's usually the same day.
Does it have to be a professional survey?
Well, it says drawing.
Yeah.
It doesn't say survey, site plan, it says drawing.
He was using the example I referenced for the surveys.
The one thing you have to be, we'd have to acknowledge, they'd have to require access approval from DLDOT to be able to locate a site.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would be an extra step.
Back to the other good cause. Just using tables as an example. Lawrence, do you see this as if somebody comes in, one, gets a permit, and they have one table? Is that okay? Versus multiple tables, or does just having a table trigger something? Because some of these places have no tables, some do. And if somebody asks, well, he's got two tables, three. In other words, is there going to be some consistency on the kick out? Because I can just foresee one guy down the street having a couple tables because of his size or something or other, and another guy having just one or whatever. In other words, is there a way that we can treat everybody fairly without having to get into some kind of...
One table is probably the better method, because then you get, with two or three tables, you end up with a gathering and people stay longer. Okay. Intent is to be temporary and gone.
So it's safe to say that one table would be permitted with most of these permits, but more than one could trigger.
Typically, most of them are to go.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. That's what I'm saying.
And one table could be, say there's three or four people, and that's all they want to sit down, so they sit down at a table. But it's not there to create a gathering. That's the best word I can use. We don't want to, all of a sudden, some people are there for hours sort of hanging out at this little truck or food vending station or whatever it is.
On the permit, will it say vendors permitted such and such one table? Could we identify and spell that out?
Isn't that something we should talk about at the public hearing?
Oh, okay. I'm just asking
that's
if this
a question.
Is...
Would you...
The details, really, I think that sort of discussion should happen at the public hearing.
Okay, that's fine.
I would agree.
So what we could end up doing is establishing a policy, and a policy is real clear. This is the max.
Well, if somebody could work on that, so at the public hearing, we have something in writing, because as of right now, we're just winging it. And
the purpose
I don't like winging it all the time, so I'm just trying to get some clarity now.
The idea is to be all inclusive as possible. You know, we're not trying to create limitations to make people have a more difficult process. So I think the idea is always going to be that we want to try to approve these as quickly as possible.
The idea, I think, was to make this a smoother, faster process.
Exactly.
And as we all know, we're from the government. We're here to help. So
we'll
make it as difficult as we can to be something simple.
But we got to the point of being a need for a conditional use, which is two public hearings. And then some of those, I think, again, had to go for a board of adjustment.
Sure.
Because they're using a mobile home type structure. Yeah. And that was questionable. Mm-hmm. So then that was three public hearings. And that amount of time, it runs anywhere up to 6 or 8 months.
Sure.
They've already missed the season's over. Right. Yeah.
We have made a vast improvement.
Thank you. I guess if somebody would read the short title, whoever wants to read this thing, Mr. Rudd, Mr. Lawson, somebody.
I have it right here, and I am ready. An ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 10, Section 69, and Section 72, Article 11, Section 77, and Section 80, and Article 11A, Section 83.2 and 83.6 of the Code of Sussex County relating to temporary removable vendor stands.
I'll introduce it.
Thank you. Mr. Cole introduced. Now we'll set the public hearing process in motion.
If you could have a policy, a draft policy that we could look at so that, again, we're not winging it at the public hearing. And,
sure.
Okay. And then maybe somebody could read that and... people can make comments, because I'd like information on a permit that would anybody could read and understand.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Council.
I'm going to do that.
Mr. Lawson.
Yes, sir. The last item is the County Administrator's Report for April 14, 2015. Item number one, we're pleased to once again sponsor the annual County Government Day on Thursday, April 16th. At 9:30 a.m., high school juniors from Sussex County Girls and Boys State will meet in the County Council chambers. A mock County Council session will occur, with the representatives assuming leadership roles.
It's always an interesting experience to watch the students' representatives tackle county issues as presented by county department heads. This program can be seen and heard on the county's website. And item number two, it is with sadness that we note the passing of county pensioner Bobby Prillhart on Tuesday, March 17th. Mr. Prillhart began his career with Sussex County in July 1989 and retired from the Security Department in July of 1997 with 8 years of service. We'd like to express our condolences to the Prillhart family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Bob Stewart.